Begin the current daf, Masechta Tmura, daf Chav Dalet. Begin on the top line of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had the teaching of Rebami, which related to the halacha of our Mishnah, which Gemara discussed actually according to whom is halacha going like, that he said that if someone designates two piles of monies, he has to buy karmachatas. For insurance purposes, in case one of them gets lost, he's separating two piles. So he says you get it to him with one of them, and the second pile is used for an adaba. The Gemara wondered, according to whom is it going like? According to Rebbe and the Rabbanon, obviously it's going to be from the Dava, because even Rebbe, who is a more stringent opinion, that says that even if it's found by after the Afrasha, before the Kapara, it's going to go to the Yam HaMelech, that's only when it's taking the place of something that was lost. It was never lost. So that the Gemara said, he's going according to Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon, even though he says by regarding animals that is going to be left to die, here they were talking about monies, that money that's for insurance purposes is going to be used for an adab. Now, a similar type of halacha, the Gemara continues and says, Amr B'Hishim. He says, Hamafesh Techatois Lachreis. Unlike the case of Rabbami, that was talking about monies, he's talking about someone designates two animals for his karmachatas, for insurance purposes, in case something happens to one animal, he has another animal. So he says, Miskaper Be'achas Men. So he gets a tumah with one of them, obviously. V'chaver Teraya, and the one that's left over is left to graze. Says the Gemara, which is similar to the halacha of Rabbami, that the money is used for the dava. Here it's left to graze, develops a blemish, and it's used for the dava. Says the Gemara, Libe Deman, according to whom, which Tana that we discussed from the three Tanoim, is it going like? Ilim Libe Drabbanon, everything is going like Drabbanon. How could that be? But if we said in the halacha of our Mishnah that if it was even designated to take the place of one that was lost, still say the Amr Rabbanan Lav Ki Ibadami, they say that if that's the one that's not being used, rather let's say you get a tumah with the one that was actually lost, and the one that was designated to take its place is left over, it's not like the lost one, and actually goes to graze, Salachrais Mebaya, when it was never anyone that was lost at all, it was just for insurance purposes, obviously it's not going to be left to die, and rather it's going to go out and graze. Ella Libid Reb Shimon. So what are you going to say? Similar to Rabbami's halacha, that's going according to Reb Shimon. But Ha'amar Reb Shimon Chamash Chatayis Meses. But Reb Shimon says, as we brought him in the previous parak, that no, he holds in all situations, all five of these types of categories, which includes this case of Kippur Ba'aleha Ba'achar, if the owner gets atoned with a different animal, that the other one is going to be left to die. So unlike the case of Rabbami, which is talking about monies, which then we said when it's for Achrayis, then he's going to say it's going to go from the Dava, but that's by monies. But by animals, which is the case of Ha'ishia, then actually Halacha would be that it would be left to die. So according to whom is he going? Like when he says that the other one is going to be Raya, says the Gemara, Ela Libe de Rebbe. Rather, it's going like Rebbe. And he explains, unlike Rabbami's halacha, which was unnecessary to say according to Rebbe, he says, but Kiyama Rebbe be'ibad, he's qualifying, and that is, although we find Rebbe is a stringent opinion in our Mishnah, and that he says that the one that's left over of the animal is going to be left to die, when did he say that? That's be'ibad, when it was taking the place of the one that was lost. Then he says it has halacha like the lost one, which if it's the one that's not being used, is left to die. Avachrai is like, but regarding the case of insurance, although we're talking about animals, but since there was no case that was lost, therefore the other one that's not being used is going to be raya, it's going to be left to graze and not left to die. However, the Gemara asks none from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hamafresh chatas, all the way at the end of the Mishnah said that if someone designates a karma chatas, vaharehi balismum, and it becomes blemished, so he can't use it anymore. So halacha is meichri, he sells it, and the girsa changes from the next words of umevi acheres tachteho, that the girsa is actually v'yavid b'deme acheres. With the monetary proceeds, he goes and buys another animal. But that's the same idea, it takes the place. That's depending on the Tanakhama. Blazer Reb Shimon, I mean, he says as follows. He says, im karva shnia, koidim shenishchato rishaynam. So okay, so that's what you do. Of course, a blemished animal, you sell it. From the proceeds, you go ahead and you buy a new karmachatas. And the first one that was blemished is now chulun. But he says, if the second one that's taking its place was sacrificed before the first one had a chance to be slaughtered by the consumer by as a regular chulin animal, then actually Thomas, it's going to be left to die. Why? Shekar Kippur Balaz, we'll explain later on, because he holds that there's still sanctity in that redeemed, what's called Psuli HaMikdashim. So the owner already has atonement with the second one. So in a sense, it's like Chata Shekibur Balaz, and actually, although it was redeemed in the chulin, it's actually going to have to be left to die. Now, one thing says the Gemara is the assumption of the Gemara's questioner was the Blazer Reb Shimon. This opinion, according from Blazer Reb Shimon, is Karebi's really that obviously he's holding like Rebbe obviously not like the Rabbanon, because according to Rabbanon, most definitely he's not going to be left to die. Rather, it must be like Rebbe, who he is a stringent one. He holds that generally the halacha is that if it's lost at the time of designation, it's going to be left to die when you go ahead and you have a tumah with the other one. So that's essentially what Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's halacha is, that he's saying that v'afilu b'achrayis nami, that he's extending and he's saying that so too, like in this situation where it's like insurance, meaning the second one was taking the place of the first one, that the halacha is when you get a tumah with one, that the other one's going to be left to die. So you see that b'achrayis, actually, not like Rabbi Yishiyah. We see that you, even according to Rebbe, when you designated one to take the place of the other one, that actually it will be left to die. Not like Rabbi Yishiyah is trying to say that actually that the other one's going to be left to graze. Says Gemara, no. Dilma Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon kavuas really. No, actually, according to Rebbe, the halacha would be that actually it would be raya, because it wasn't taking a place of an avuda. Here also, it wasn't taking the place of anything that's lost. It's taking the place of something. It wasn't to take the place of something that's lost. And then, as if you find it and you have two lost ones. Rather, he's like his father, Rabbi Shimon, like we just mentioned before. His father says that in all situations, the halacha is that from these five types, including the case of a kippur ba'aleha, it's the other one's always going to die. So yeah, according to his father, Rabbi Shimon, then it's even going to be, as we just mentioned before, regarding the case of achrayis, that's even left to die. But according to Rebbe, who is not so stringent, he's the most stringent one in our Mishnah, but not as stringent as Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, we could say that actually the halacha of Rabbi Yishiyah is true, that in this case of achrayis, was not taking the place of avuda, that the other one will be left to graze and not to die. But the Gemara continues asking Rabbi Yishiyah Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Yuma, which we quoted in the previous staff, regarding the two he-goats that are brought in Yom Kippurim. One's Lashem, which the blood is thrown into Kachim, and the other one's Lazlazel, thrown off the cliff. Now, the Mishnah says over there that if the Azazel dies, so then you have to bring a new pair of animals and do the lottery and take one Azazel to take the place of the Azazel that died. And then Hasheni Yira, the sick one's left to graze. Why? Says the Mishnah, Lafisha in Chatas Tzibra Mesa, because a public Karban Chatas is not left to die. So although now it has no utility, but you let it graze, it's not going to be like the Lacha Mishnah Mesina of a Yachid. As the Gemara points out, but Yachid Mesa. But by individual, then that would be the halacha of that the other one would be left to die. Now, additionally, Amar Rav, which is a machlekes how to qualify, but Rav qualifies this halacha that he says, Bali Chayin en nidach. A living animal does not get rejected. In other words, the first one, the first Lashem, which when it was still alive, the Azazel died, it doesn't get rejected when the Azazel dies, and therefore, Kishu Miskaper, if he wants to, when he's going to get atonement for the one Lashem, is B'sheni Shebezug Rishon Miskaper. They'll use the second one, meaning the original Lashem, that they're going to get atonement for that one. Which, that comes out, that V'idach, that means to say the other one, the last Lashem, from the new peer, Havalei Achrayis, is like it was separated for insurance. In other words, it wasn't separated to take the place of one that was lost, because the first one of Lashem in the first pier, that one didn't die. It's only the one of the Sar Lazazel that died, that the second one's taking the place of that lost one, meaning the one that died. But not Lashem. So it's like for insurance purposes, in case something happens to the first Lashem too. And even so, the Katani, the Yachid Mason, still was saying that by an individual, that second one will die, even though it's Fachrayas. So that's difficult, according to Rabbi Yishiyah. He said that when you're doing Fachrayas, that then it's not going to die. It's going to go out to graze. And yet here we see a case of Achrayas that it's going to be left to die. Says the Gemara, and the Gears is, Rav actually holds, he's Sabal Akrib Yesi. Holds Akrib Yesi, Tama Mitzvah Berishon. He says the mitzvah is to use the first one. In other words, the Gemara says, and by Pesach and by Karban Pesach, that if someone designated a Karban Pesach and they got lost, so he separated a new one to take its place. And then they subsequently find the first one. So the Tanna Kama says, okay, you could choose whichever one you want to bring as a Karban. You have two options. Rabbi Yosi says, no, mitzvah berishon, mitzvah is to use the first one that was designated. Now, that's what the Gemara is saying, the Rav holds like Rabbi Yosi. So since the mitzvah is to use the first one, so essentially when you were making the new pair, the second Lashem, you were designating it not Fachrayas, because it's not Fachrayas, because you could only use the first one, that's the mitzvah. You were essentially separating it for Ibud, to be lost. Because the designation of the second one was not for any hektish, rather you knew you weren't going to use it, and therefore it's going to go to Misa, because he held that the mitzvah is Berishon. But by the case of Rabbi Yishiyah, when he designates two chatoyes fachrayis for insurance, since if the person wants to, he could get atonement with the one that he was not using. So you can't say that it was being designated li'ibud, it's being designated lachrayis. There, yes, everyone would agree that it'd be raya. This case is different because that is essentially being hufrish li'ibud, not to be used because the mitzvah is berishon. Now, going to the halacha of our Mishnah, which we mentioned, the machlokes, that we were referencing this stuff, the previous stuff, Tan Rav Shimi Bar Ziri Kamed Rav Papa. Rav Shimi Bar Ziri said over the following brayse in front of Rav Papa, said, of the B'shas HaFrasha, which this is the machlokes of our Mishnah, which again we had been mentioning, between Rebbe and Rabbanan, if it was lost only when it was when the next one was separated. But you didn't get atonement yet with the second one. So the halacha is the Rebbe Meisa, he's the most stringent one in our Mishnah, he says it's left to die. The Rabbanan Tir, according to the Rabbanan, it's left to grace. However, of the B'shas Kapar, if it was lost at the time of the atonement, so the Braisa he quoted was in the reverse. The Rabbanan Meisa, as we said, even the Rabbanan agreed, was found after already had atonement, then the first one's going to be left to die. But the Rebbe Raya, according to the Rebbe, it's actually going to be left to grace. Which the question is, and the Girsa in the Shita is, Omalei said to him, what do you mean, Kavu Chaymer? How can you say this? Umav would b'shas afrasha if when it's lost during only when the second one was separated and designated and ready to be used. The Amr Rabban and Rai, where the Rabban say, okay, it's only left to grace. And because it wasn't so rejected. Amr Rebbe Meisa, still Rebbe says it's left to die. So then avud b'shas kapar, so if it's lost even at the time when you already had atonement with the second one, to the Rabban and Meisa, we're according to Rabban that there they even agree that it's going to be left to die. The Rebbe Lekalshkin, isn't it all the more so, Kavu Chaymer, that according to Rebbe it's going to be for sure left to die? Rather, says, read the Braisa as follows. First part was correct. Avud b'shas afrasha was lost during the time of when the second one was already designated. L'Rebbe Meis l'Rabban and Rai. According to Rebbe, it's going to be left to die. According to Rai, the Rabban, it's going to be left to graze. B'shas kapar was lost even at the time of the atonement. Divrei hakol meis, so everyone agrees, it's going to be left to die. Like we had the halacha in the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah all the way at the end, as we referenced this just earlier before, said that Rabbi Lazar b'Shimon Naimi, he says that actually this, the one that took the place of the first one, which was a regular, someone designated one chatas and a developable blemish, so then you sell it, and the proceeds you buy a second animal. So that he said, that second animal is taking the place, but the first one, as we're going to quote shortly, still has some sanctity. So therefore, if you sacrifice the second one before the first one that's now chulin is slaughtered, it's going to be like chatas shekipur balel, but achran, actually it's going to have to be left to die, and you won't be able to use it as a chulin animal. Now, relating back to this halacha, the Gemara brings Tarnabon to learn the following braisa, which relate back to this idea of Reb Elazar ben Shimon regarding that the Psula Mekdashin still has sanctity even after it's redeemed. Says the braisa, Emar Gilin, we can't skin an animal from its feet, which is that oftentimes when they would skin the hide of the animal, they would do it start from the feet and skin it whole from its feet for the purposes of bellows or for using it to contain honey, but you wanted to have the whole hide intact. So says the Braisa, you can't do that b'yomtiv, on yomtiv. Similarly, you can't aim arginal b'bachar, you can't do that type of skinning by firstborn animal. And not by a carbon that was invalidated, which was redeemed and slaughtered, still you can't do it. Now, we're talking about specifically that way, because generally when a person does not want to skin an animal intact, what he would do is he would just cut the animal on by the stomach with a knife from the throat going to the tail. But we're talking about specifically, you can't do this margilin, not on yomtiv, not by Bechar, not by Psula Mekdash. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam B'yomtiv, we understand the Quran on Yomtiv, that you can't do this, because the Katarach Tirchot Delei Chazalei, Michael Oichel Nefesh, certain malachas are permitted to be done on Yomtiv, because it's necessary. But something that's not necessary, Uvdin Dechayel, mundane weekday activities, you're doing an effort that's not necessary, it's not for a Yomtiv purpose, so you understand that you can't do that on Yomtiv. El Bechar Man Tana, but who is the Tana of this Bryce that's saying that the firstborn animal that's already invalidated, that's blemished, that still it has a sanctity that you can't go ahead and do something that's inappropriate with the hide of the animal. So he says, Beishamahi, the Amma Bukhar Bikidushasika, he says that the Bukhar, even when it's blemished, even when it's already slaughtered, even after it's when it's being consumed, it still has a sanctity. It's not like the Mishnah Mesakhtas Bukhairus. Beishamahi, they say, Lo Yimni Yisrael imakoin ala Bukhar. A Yisrael, a full-fledged Jew, cannot eat with a kohen on the Bukhar. To eat with the kohen, even the meat of a Bukhar, of a firstborn animal that's blemished, that the kohen slaughtered for himself. So even though it's blemished, it still retains its sanctity, and therefore you can't skin it from the feet up, because it looks like you're doing work with kachim, and it's this uvdin dechayel, it's a mundane activity which is forbidden to be done with a kachim, even after it's blemished. Now, psula mekdashin ma'atana. So who's the Tana, the rest of the braisa that says that by other karbanas, even after it's invalidated and blemished, and you sell it as mechulin, still you can't be margal with it. So Rav Chizdi says, Reb Elazar ben Shimon, that's the opinion of our Mishnah, where the Tana learned the Braisa, which actually brings it in a different context. The Braisa says, someone had in front of him two Karban Chatas that he had designated for his Karban Chatas. Achas Tamima, v'achas Balas Mum. One is unblemished, one is blemished. So Tamima Tikrif, so the unblemished one is one that's sacrificed. And Balas Mum Tifta, which as Rashi explains, that the blemished one, that should be redeemed before the second one is sacrificed. Because as we said, that when the second one is sacrificed, that actually invalidates, it's already considered Kippur Ba'alah. But what we're talking about here is two Karban Chatzos that were designated for one sin, but one of them got blemished, and the second one was separated to take its place. That's what it's saying, you first redeem the blemished one, and then you sacrifice the unblemished one. Now, if Nishchata Ba'alas Mum, if let's say the blemished one was slaughtered, as we said, after it's redeemed, actually Nizik Dama Shal Tamima, before the unblemished one's blood was thrown, before it was the Hakrava, so Muteris, so then, like we said, that the blemished one, which was sold, which is Chulin, which was redeemed by, and then this person was used to buy the second one, then it's permitted. This is all the Tanakam. Meshur Nizik Dama Shal Tamima, but if the blood of the unblemished one was already thrown, then Asura, then it's going to be forbidden, because, like we said, that's Chata Shechab Ba'alaha, already, because even though the first one was redeemed, but still, it still has some sanctity. Now, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon Amar, that's what we're going like, he says, Afilu Basa Balas Mumba Gedera, he says even more so, he says, even if the meat of the blemished one is already in the pot, it was slaughtered, it's ready to be cooked, it just wasn't eaten yet, which as Tosafot points out, why this is not a contradiction to how he says the halacha in the Mishnah, which he says, Atchali Nishchata, here it says that even if it's slaughtered, even if the meat is in the pot, but that's what we bring out from his opinion, that you see how far he holds the sanctity goes of this blemished one. Even if it was already slaughtered, it's in the pot. But v'nizik damash al tamima, and before the guy gets a chance to eat it, the blood of the unblemished one, which takes the place of this one, was thrown, yotze lebeis hasrefa, has to be taken out to be burnt, the meat of the blemished animal. So you see that even though it was redeemed, and it was slaughtered, it still retains its sanctity, and it's called chata shekibra ba'aleha, meaning which still treating it like the chatas that originally was, even though it's already chulun now. So therefore the same thing is, by skinning it from the feet, even though it was redeemed and it was slaughtered, it still retains its sanctity, and therefore you can't do that type of disgraceful treatment to the Psulei Mekdashin that was redeemed. Now the Gemara wonders, Rav Chisda, luk me'idi ve'idi ki beishamai. Why does Rav Chisda say that the Reish is like Beishamai and the Seif is like a blessed Beishimon? He should say, most definitely, just like Beishamai is stringent regarding the Bechayr, so they would be stringent also by Psulei Mekdashin. Why does he have to say one is like one Tanakh and one's like the other? Says the Gemara, no, because Dimla Kiyami Beishamai Meimi, when do Beishamai say that it still retains its sanctity even if it's blemished? It's Bechayr. As we have his halacha court, specifically by the firstborn animal, the Kedushasi Mirachim. It's a very stringent type of sanctity, which takes effect automatically when the firstborn animal comes through the womb of a Psulei Mekdashin Lai. But by regular carbonus would become invalidated, which its sanctity is not so severe, maybe he wouldn't hold that it has a sanctity, even though after it's blemished and redeemed. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, then say both opinions like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, where even by Psulei Mekdashin he says retains, for sure by Bechor, which thing is more severe. Says the Gemara, no, because Dimla Kiyama Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, we could say, maybe when does he say the severity, is by Psulei Mekdashin, specifically by invalidated regular carbonus, that limi lemitves pidyonin, that they're more strong in their sanctity, that it's strong enough that a redemption could take effect on this blemished animal. But by Bechor, first, when an animal cannot be redeemed, like the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Yechez, Le Tifta. And if someone tries redeeming it, the redemption does not take effect on its sanctity. So that's actually a lower level, because it's not strong enough its sanctity to be redeemed, to be take effect on something else. So therefore, you would have thought that it doesn't apply by Bechor, therefore you have to say that Beshama, we have on record that Bechor has sanctity even after it's blemished and redeemed, and so too, after it's blemished, and so too by Psulei Mekdashin, after it's blemished and redeemed, that's still Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, we find that he says that it's going to have a sanctity, and therefore Eimar Gilim by both, we would have to say according to both Tanakh opinions. However, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, Les lichod etnan, how do we understand his halacha? Doesn't he hold what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Bechayrus? The Mishnah says, Kol Psulei Mekdashin, all karbanos that become invalidated. So the halacha is, when we redeem it, Nishchatin be'itlis, it could be slaughtered in the marketplace, with Mukarm be'itlis, it could be sold in the marketplace, V'nishkan be'litra, it could be weighed against different weights, which obviously we see that after it's redeemed, that it doesn't have its sanctity anymore from when you redeem it and when you slaughter it. Alma keeping the Sharisli, obviously we see that since it's permitted for someone to sell it in the marketplace, because Tafi Vizavin, why do we let that? Isn't that a disgrace? Because the person that's redeeming it from Hektish will buy it for a higher price because he knows that he's going to be able to sell in the marketplace and get a lot of money for the meat that he's buying. So therefore, by skinning it from the feet too, it should also be permitted to be margulate from the feet, because since he knows when he's redeeming it, that these Psul Makdashin, at the end, he's going to be able to skin it from the feet and sell the skin, which is intact, the hide then fetches a higher price, he's going to pay Hektish more. So you see that it should be permitted to be margulate by Psul Makdashin. How do we understand Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, who says it's forbidden? So Amar Rav Mori Bari, Rav Kahane, says no, because, yeah, he agrees to that halacha. But mashe meshbiach ba'or, what a person gains for the price that he's going to pay more for this, for the hide, if we let him to be margal, to skin it from the feet, paygim v'basar, that's how much he's deficient in being able to fetch for the price of the meat of the animal. Therefore, there's not going to be any gain. You're right, if there's a gain, your blessed Hashem would agree that one would be permitted to do that. But here, he's afraid to cut into the hide because he needs it to be intact. That's what he's selling. So he's going to be cutting into the flesh. So you're not going to be able to sell the flesh for such a good price. And therefore, that's where blessed Hashem says that no, since you're not going to be gaining, so then we say it still retains the sanctity and you cannot be margal because Hektash is not going to be gaining anything because the person who's buying is not going to be able to gain. He'll sell the hide for more, but he's going to be selling the flesh for less. Or a different interpretation, but Marava Mishmei Dirabavan, or the Gir says Mishmei Diravina Amri, the name of Ravina in the West, and so they said a different interpretation. So the reason why you can't be Margul is when they Shaniruka Avid Avoid Bakacha. It looks like you're doing work with a carbon because he's making this into this container, this intact hide, on the animal when it's still attached. Now, most definitely, it's not considered avoid bakachim because there's no work with an animal after it's dead, but it looks like avoida, and that's why it's forbidden to be Margul by this Psula Mikdash. Or Yisabar Ovenam, he gives a different, the third interpretation. He says, no, the problem is Gezerishim Yigdal Mehem. We're concerned that the person might bring up from these Psulim Mekdashim, from these animals that were invalidated because they have a blemish, but they're still alive, that if we let you take the skin and sell it for hides intact, then you're going to make from them Adar Madar. You're going to make flocks and flocks that are going to be derivatives from this Psulim Mekdashim, because if you let the person be Markel, he's going to wait. He's not going to slaughter it because the hide's going to get ruined. He's going to wait until he has people that work in this line that need to have these intact skins, and then that animal's going to have a child and a child and a child, and he's going to have problems because those animals are Psulim Mekdashim, are forbidden to shear the wool or work with them even after they're redeemed. And the person might end up doing these things because he has all these animals. So because of that, that's why he said, no, you can't skin it, so the person's not going to hold on to it. He'll slaughter him, he'll do whatever he has to. And that's why, a third interpretation, why the halacha is that it's problematic to be margal by Psula Mekdash. Hadnulach Vlad Chatzis, we shall return to the fourth Perek Masechta Tmura, Perek Vlad Chatzis, which primarily spoke about, from the continuation of the previous Perek, which spoke about the children and the Tmura, which is the topic of our Perek, of different categories of animals. And our Perek's focus primarily that of Karma Chatzis. And then they got into which Vlad Chatzis. And Tmuras Chatzis is one of the five Chamesh Chatois Meses, discussing that they all have to be left to die, and then differentiating in the halacha of one of them, which is when it's lost in Kibbur Baalei HaBa'achar, depending which one the Atonement is with, and when you find it. With that, we begin, as we continue to phase, we begin the fifth paragraph of Masechta Tmura, Paraketz and Marimin, which actually begins a topic relating to the laws of Bechor. But however, as we see from the series of Mishnayos, it'll relate back to the topic of our Masechta of Tmura, where they relate to the idea of Ha'omer, of someone that says, which is regarding someone's words that then creates a sanctity, which I will relate to the halachas of Timur. And with that, the mission begins, Ketzad Marimin al-Bachar. How does one outsmart by the laws of the firstborn animal, meaning to preclude the Kain from getting the Bachar, which is the firstborn animal, and rather to designate it for an obligatory carbon that he has to bring it anyway? As the mission explains, Mivakeresh Haysim Uberes, if it's a firstborn, if it's an animal that it's giving birth to its firstborn, which it's the animal is pregnant. So he says as follows. He says, Mashe b'me'eha shalzu, what's in the utero of this animal, im zachar oyle, he says, if it's male, it should be carbon oyle. Now, the reason why that's effective is because the firstborn animal only becomes sanctified when it comes out of the womb. Now, since he goes and he precludes and he preempts and he has gives it a different sanctity beforehand, so then the sanctity of Bechor will not subsequently take effect when it's coming out of the womb in the birth. So therefore, it'll be his carbon oil that he has to bring, and it will not be Bechor that's given to the Kohen. So says the Mishnah, Yol de Zachar Yikarvayla. So if he actually gives birth to a male, so it's not going to be Bechor, it's going to be sacrificed as a carbon oil. Now, V'im, and if he says that if it's going to give birth to an Akeba, to a female, Zivchi Shlam, it should be carbon Shlam, so Yol de Nakeba, if it gives birth to a female, so the carbon Shlam, it's going to be sacrificed as a carbon Shlam. Now, if he says zachar oila, if it's a male, it should be oila. Vim nekeva zivch shlam, and if it's female, it should be a karmen shlam. So yod de zachar nekeva, if he gives birth to a male and a female, hazachar yikav oila v'nekeva tikav shlam. So the male is brought as oila, and the female is brought as a karmen shlam. Now yod de shnei zachar, if gives birth to two males, so both of them are going to have the sanctity of an oila. Why? Because he said im zachar yikav oila, if it's male, it should be a karmen oila. Now, however, it's still not going to be that both of them are going to be sacrificed as a carbon oil itself, because ultimately, his vow is only for one of them. But he said if it's a male, it should be oila. So therefore, it's actually somewhere in the middle. Echad mehem yikar v'oila, so one of them is sacrificed because he took a vow that one of them will be a carbon oila. But Vasheni Yimachal Lechiva Eila B'dam Avchulin. The second one will be sold and will be utilized as a carbon Eila, because ultimately it's a male and it has to be Eila, but the monetary proceeds are Chulin because he only vowed for one. And that's the one that's taking the place of the animal that he said should be Eila. Now, Yodeshtein the Kabis, if we give birth to two females, so Achazman Tikkur Shlom, so one of them will be sacrificed as a Shlom, because he said if it's female, it should be Shlom. Vashnia Timachal Lechiva Shlom B'dam Avchulin. So the second one will also be sacrificed as a shlam by someone who buys it, because they said if it's female it'd be a shlam, but he himself personally only took a vow for one, so the monetary proceeds will be chulun. Now concludes the Mishnah, Yol Tum the Vadreginess. If let's say it's neither male or female, rather it's a tumtum which seems like it doesn't have any signs of gender, or androgynous which has both signs of gender, it says in Kedusha Chala, in the sanctity doesn't take effect on that animal at all, as the Gemara will explain the reasoning for his opinion. Now the Gemara introduces the following Amarok teaching, which is going to be asked on from the Halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mutar lahatil mum bebechar." One is permitted to inflict a blemish in the firstborn animal, koydim shiyatzel avar oilam, before it comes to the ear space of the world, then it's permitted to inflict the blemish, because it's not sanctified yet. When it comes out, then it's going to be problematic. Then it's like being matal mum bekadishim. That is the Gemara, but it's not relevant in our Mishnah that said that oimer adam, a person could say, what's in the womb of this animal, yeah, it's not sanctified yet, it should be a carbon oilam. And then, when it comes out, it'll be an Ayla, and it won't be a Bechar. But one thing says the Gemara is Ayla. If he's saying that it should be a carbon Ayla, since that's a pretty severe type of sanctity where it's going to be totally burned on Mizbeach, then, yes, that's permitted to deviate the sanctity of Bechara to its sanctity. But Shlamim, we see, but if you will, let's say you wanted to switch it to a lighter level of sanctity, that of Kachim Kam, like a Shlamim, then that actually lies. That we see from the Mishnah forbidden to deviate and to change it initially from the sanctity of Bechara to that sanctity. And for sure that would be forbidden to make a blemish in the Bechar, which would be totally precluding it from any sanctity whatsoever. And you're saying that it's permitted to remove it from the sanctity by inflicting a blemish? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. But our Mishnah is talking about the time when the Beis HaMikdash is around. So then you're right, that you would be bringing it as a Bechar, you're not allowed to remove it from that sanctity. Yeah, you could upgrade it, but get it out from giving it to the Kain, you'd be making it into an Ayla. But Kikamina, no, when did I say that you can inflict a blemish and that it will have no sanctity at all? It's Bizman Hazeh. It's anyways in today's time, you can't bring it as a carbon anyway. So what are you going to do when you have just this animal sitting around sanctified? It's not going to help anyway. That's what I'm saying. You let it go ahead and inflict a blemish before it comes out. So says the Gemara, Ibizman Hazeh, my member. If he's talking about today's time when there's no basic English, of course, what's he saying? Why wouldn't we let that? Says the Gemara, no, Madatemu, what would you say? That Nigzu, we should make a rabbinic decree, Dilma Nafik Rav Reisha, that maybe actually the majority of the head of the animal, of the firstborn, will come out, thus being sanctified by the womb, because Rube is Kekulai, and then, because Shadi Beim Mumma, then he's going to think, oh, let me get it quick before it comes out, and then he's going to inflict a blemish, and then he's being Matal Mumba Kachim. It's already a full fledged Kachim, and he's going to be inflicting a blemish. That's what the Chiddush is telling us, that we don't make such a decree, and because the person will be careful to make the blemish at a time when the only part of the head came out before the majority comes out. Like the Gemara actually says in Bechir Saf HaMahim and Aleph, regarding a kid goat, you'll do it in the ear, because by goats, it comes out by its by temples where you see the ears first. So you know if you see the ear, the majority didn't come out yet. And by lambs, you do it on the lips, because the mouth of the lamb comes out first. So that's the chiddush that he's saying, that, yeah, bizman hazeh, we don't make such a gezeira, and you're allowed to make the blemish because you're not precluding it from any carbon that's being brought at all, because there's no bizman hazeh. So says the Gemara, why? Maybe say that's such a gezeira. Maybe the person might be inflicting a blemish in kachim, because he might get it only when most of the head came out. Says the Gemara, no, afil hachi, even so, that you're right, maybe that would be a concern, but ha difa. But it's still better, because there would be a problem if you don't inflict the blemish. So it's better to permit him to inflict the blemish and make sure that he's careful, because then the real halacha is that it's not sanctified yet, so that we don't require him to have to wait till the blemish is a blemish, but rather now he's going to be up to slaughter right away. Because if we don't let him inflict the blemish, so then the halacha is going to be, since no Beis HaMikdash, he's going to have to wait till this Bechor develops a blemish. Now, in the interim, he might come to, because it might take him a few years till he develops a blemish. And he might, in that interim, shear the wool or work with it, which is a halacha that's problematic to do with a kachim. So therefore, we say, okay, better do it now and be careful than waiting and thinking that maybe it's Yetzer Rav Reisha, not let him, and then he'll come into these problems in Gizah Avodah and all that time afterwards. Actually, the Girsa has Hadifa Yaseira, which Rashi's Girsa actually Hadifa Chaseira, that Chaseira is Hadifa. In other words, it means the same idea, that it's better to diminish from it a limb before the majority comes out, and meaning make it a Balmum, than Medasa Bela Degiz of Avoid, where if you don't, then all that time that you're waiting for a blemish to happen, he might do a problem with kachim anyways of shearing the wool or working with it, which is forbidden, and therefore rather blemish it now that it gets slaughtered right away. Now the Mishnah continued and says, okay, that's if he wants to preclude it from being bechayr. Says if it's a male, it'll be a oila, then it'll be brought as a oila. Then the Mishnah said, in the keva, if let's say he says if it's a female, then zivchi shlam, it'll be a karmish shlam. So the Gemara wonders, in the keva, mikra kachim bechayra, is a female sanctified in bechayra at all that he's coming to outsmart, and it's saying ketsa marimin, and it says this case. Oh, and if it's a female, it's going to be a shlam. Well, what do you mean? What are you outsmarting? If it's a female, it's not a bechayra at all. Bechayra is only by a male animal. Says Zigmar, you're right. Seifa asel lebehema dehekdash. The first case of zach was referring to the case that we opened up with ketsa marimin al bechayr. The seifa that's talking about the nekeva is talking about other kachim, that of, let's say, karma chatas, where the chatas became impregnated, and now he wants to outsmart that it shouldn't die, because aloch is a vlad of the chatas, is lemisa azla, goes to its death. So that's what the Mishnah was saying, that you should deviate from its sanctity to a different sanctity. And that's what it's saying, that as we'll see on the next daf, that vlad is kadoshim, the child of a kachim, behave yasin hen kadoshim. They only become sanctified with the parent sanctity only when it's born, not in the womb. So since it's not sanctified yet with the mother's sanctity, that's what the Mishnah is saying. Oh, you could go ahead and give it a different sanctity, like that of Shlamim. So when it's born, it's not a Vlad Chata, so it's not going to be Lemisa Azla, and rather you'll be able to bring it as a carbon Shlam. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Yolda Shnei Zachar M'chul. Oh, and it gives birth to two males. So then we said, so one's sacrificed as an Oyla, and the other one is sold as an Oyla, and the proceeds go to the owner. So that the Gemara asked Amri, they said, wait a second. Ibehema de hektish, if it's talking about an animal of hektish like the previous case of Nikeva, which we said for Shlamim, so then why are you saying that the second one is sold to be used for a carbon oila? Heich the aktish oila, the first one that comes out, which was sanctified to be a carbon oila, because he said that if it's a male, it'll be a carbon oila. So then, as the gears is, lahava oila, let that one be an oila, right? But idach, but the second one, when it's born, nahavi bekedushasi the image, should have the mother sanctity, not chulin, should have the mother sanctity, meaning like a karban chatas. Why are we saying that the second one sold as an oila, and then the proceeds are chulin for the owner? So the Gemara no seifa, that next case that we're describing of when it gives birth to zacharim, asan lebehemas chulin, is actually describing a case of when the animal is chulin. In other words, the ratio, which talks about bechayr, which the mother animal is a regular chulin animal, it's just giving birth to the firstborn animal, which we said, okay, then he says if it's male, it's going to be an oila. And the seifa, when he gives birth to two zecharim, both of them are talking about chulin. So that's why when it's the seifa, he wants to say that, okay, it won't be a bechayr. And the second zachar will also, even though that's not going to be a bechayr, but he said that if it's going to be a male, it's, and he didn't know that there's twins that are coming out, so that's going to also have to be sold as an oila. But it's not going to have the mother sanctity because the mother doesn't have any sanctity. And the middle case is talking about a case of hektish. That's what we said, the case of the cable would apply. But you're right, it's not talking about a case of hektish because then actually the second one would have the sanctity of the mother. V'chatas, that's what the Gemara is answering, that the Reisha and the Seifa is Bechulun, and the middle case is talking about by Kachm.